Good morning, everyone. Hope that you're doing well. If you're visiting with us, great to have you with us here this Sunday morning. Hope that you've had an enjoyable time thus far. I do want to take this opportunity to welcome some familiar faces, some campus students who are part of the Ottawa Church of Christ. They went back home for the summer, and now they've returned, and they're back with us. And, of course, that's Ali, Sonia, and Gustavo. I'm going to have them stand. There's Ali, and there's Gustavo, and there's Sonia. She's right there, sitting beside Ali. But I also like to take this opportunity to welcome some students who have moved to Ottawa to be a part of the Ottawa Church and, of course, go to school here in Ottawa. And that is from the Montreal Church. Angela Diggs is with us. And Jessica Osabua is somewhere there at the back. Oh, she's around somewhere. I guess maybe she's walking down the hallway somewhere, but she is here. And Melissa Murray is with us. She's somewhere here. There she is. And so just as some welcome gifts on behalf of the Ottawa Church of Christ, I'd like to give this all three of you. Thanks, Melissa. And if you're a student visiting with us, great to have you with us here this morning. And I definitely wish all the students all the best in this school year ahead. As we continue our time together, before we jump into God's Word, let's go to our Father in prayer and ask for His blessing on our study here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for able to be here this morning. Father, I do pray that as we study your word at this time, I pray that your spirit can work through me, can work through each and every one of our hearts. Father, helping us to understand your word, and Father, to be able to grasp something that, God, we can take home to be able to apply to our lives. Father, thank you so much that you've given us your word. Father, it can be so easy to follow the wisdom that is often offered in this world. But Father, I do pray that we will hold to your word. The Father will seek you for the answers to very difficult questions we face in life. And Father, rely upon you to reveal yourself and reveal your will to each and every one of us. Father, again, I thank you, God, that we're able to be here today. Please open our hearts to your word. And Father, allow your spirit to convict us, encourage us to do as you believe best. So that, Father, we can be encouraged and we can draw closer to you. Father, thank you. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. You know, again, if you're a student, all the best in this fall semester. You know, learning in the classroom is very important. You know, I can remember working on my bachelor's, my master's degree. You know, it could be there's a lot to, that you got to digest and take in. And so this is kind of a week of kind of getting things together. But I do believe learning in the classroom is very important. You know, my wife Karen is a full-time teacher, so she was off from teaching in the summer, but now she's kind of back into teaching at school, elementary school, but also she's also a full-time PhD student. So you see, she's got a lot of stuff going on. But we do believe that education is very important. But I do believe it has its proper place. You know, you think about people go to school, they finish school, hoping to graduate and come out and find a job. You've often heard it is said, as people are looking and searching for a job, it's not what you know, but who you know. And that is the title of today's lesson this morning. It's not what you know, but it's who you know. And usually this meaning that we're familiar with, there's a meaning of this saying is that people get ahead in life based on their connections, not on their skills or their knowledge. It is a saying that people often advance based on the people they know, not on whether they actually know what they are doing in the job. You know, some of you probably know people who maybe tried to find jobs who, you know, based on some connection, they were able to find a job. You know, there are many people who have master's degrees, PhDs, who are trying to find work, whether it be in Ottawa, in our country. But sometimes it's not about what you know, but who you know. You know, this was true in a spiritual sense for Solomon. And if you can turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, you know, today we're going to look at one of the themes that we see in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, last week we did an introduction on the book and kind of highlighted a few different themes that we see in the book of Ecclesiastes. But today we're going to talk about one of the themes that we see in Ecclesiastes, and that is wisdom. You know, Solomon himself was a very wise man. He was considered the wisest man in the world during his time. You know, he was a man of great intellect, a man of great wisdom, where kings from around the world came to learn from him. Because he had a lot to offer. Because he was the wisest man during that time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 12. It says, I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. You know, Solomon devoted himself to study. He took time to explore, it says, by wisdom, the meaning of life. All that is done under the sun. He looked at all that man does and did an extensive search on it where he spent his whole life. But it says that all of them proved to be meaningless. A simple chasing after the wind. You know, Solomon's search for meaning, his search for happiness, fulfillment, fell short. Solomon's search did not lead to fulfillment, happiness, contentment, understanding the purpose of life. And he did not find it in his accomplishments or find it in his wisdom. Solomon came to realize that fulfillment throughout his life, he came to realize as you reflect back, that contentment, fulfillment, and the meaning of life could not be found in what he knew, but in who he came to know. And that was God. You know, man on his own, or through the use of human wisdom, is not able to arrive, but always in a state of searching, emptiness, striving, and a chasing after the wind. You know, this morning, where are you at in your search for fulfillment, true contentment, and happiness? You know, what is it that you're searching in life for? You know, in verse 15, it says, what is twisted cannot be straightened. And I believe this refers to the perplexity and confusion that comes to us because of all the unanswered questions in life. You know, sometimes there are questions we spend our whole life trying to answer. Very similar to Solomon. You know, we ask ourselves such questions as, you know, what is the meaning and purpose of life? We might ask ourselves, what should I do? What should I invest my time in? You know, what are my goals? What are my ambitions? You know, how can I find fulfillment in this life? You know, I do believe all of us want to live happy, content, fulfilling lives. I absolutely believe that all of us want to live such lives. But how we go about finding it is usually where at times we fall short. We typically can begin at the wrong starting point, where we can look to human wisdom for the answers to very complex questions. You know, the world in many ways tries to convince us that it has all the answers. If you have this, you will be happier. You know, you ever listen to an advertisement when they tell you, you know what? If you have this, you will be much happier. You need to have it. Only to find out that once you have it, it just wears off. That temporary high no longer exists. Or someone might say, you know, if you get all the power in life, all the pleasure, the money, the control you want, you will be happy. You know, the human wisdom teaches us, you know, we need to protect ourselves. We need to guard our rights. We need to maintain our independence. We need to look out for number one. We need to love ourselves. We need to put self first. You know, you think about all the self-help books that are out there that try to teach us how to find meaning and purpose and happiness in our life. You know, when we think about human wisdom, at the center of human wisdom is self. That is the starting point of human wisdom, is self. But what's important for us to understand is that by focusing on ourself, by having ourself as the starting point, or relying on human wisdom, we will never find true fulfillment, true purpose, and true meaning in our life. Because it starts with God. You know, human wisdom has its limitations. But also human wisdom has its flaws. You know, you think about some of the greatest minds of history were atheists. You know, it's difficult for them to teach people how to find true fulfillment and meaning and purpose if they don't believe it starts with God. And sometimes we can be given the incorrect answers to some of life's difficult questions. You know, this was evident in a movie that Karen and I watched last night. We got a chance after a very busy day to unwind and watch a movie. And it was a movie I wanted to see. It's called God Is Not Dead. I'm not sure if many of you have had a chance to watch it. Has anybody here ever watched it? Okay, a few? Okay, well, let me tell you about the movie. No, I'm not one of those guys. You know, there's always someone who, you know, they watch the movie and then they pretty much tell you about 85% of the movie. But just to give you kind of a little, because it is in the preview. You know, there's a professor who, some things happen in his life, and so he believes that God is dead. Simply because of the suffering in the world, that if there was a God who was a benevolent God, how could all this stuff be going on? And of course, some personal trauma he experienced in his life. And so then he begins the class by telling all the students, you just have to write down and we'll skip certain parts of the class. You just have to write down that God is dead. And then there's one guy who, again, has to convince the class as to why God is not dead. But this professor was teaching the students that God is dead based on his own experience. And that's why what's important to understand that human wisdom, it can be flawed. Because we are sinners, we are people who experience difficult times in our life, and we can project an image of God, or we can project things about God that are not true. What's important for us is to go to a reliable source, which is God's Word. To learn about God, to learn about the meaning of life, to learn about the purpose of life, to learn about how to find meaning in this world. It's about going to the Scriptures and seeing what God teaches us about how to find true fulfillment and lasting purpose in our life. You know, we continue reading in chapter 2. We'll jump down to verse 12. So then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successors do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has his eyes in his head, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said it in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. You know, human wisdom has its limitations. But one thing that's also that's important for understand is that wisdom alone cannot guarantee eternal life. You know, Solomon talks about folly and how the wise man has his eyes in his head. The fool walks in darkness. But he said, but the same fate overtook them both. And Solomon's wondering, how am I better off than the fool? You know, what have I gained by being wise that really counts in life? What that really counts in the big scheme of things? Solomon realized that wisdom, how much he knew, did not put him in a better standing with God. How much he knew did not put him in a better standing with God. How much he accomplished. The personal achievements does not really matter after death. But Solomon realized that whether it be wisdom, whether it be accomplishments, pleasures, possessions, whatever we accomplish here in this life, when all is said and done, doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things. And does not really matter when you're dead. And the reality is, everyone will die. None of us here this morning will escape death. Death will come to each and every one of us. And no matter what we attain in this life, we can't take it with us. That's why wisdom for Solomon did not guarantee that he was in right standing with God. You know, this morning I want you to really think deep down in your heart. Do you believe that you're in right standing with God? Do you believe that you and God are in a great place? You know, again, whatever we accomplish, whatever amount of knowledge we accumulate, we need to understand that wisdom alone, possessions, all these things cannot guarantee eternal life. Therefore, each and every one of us, when we think about life, when we think about death, we need to not build our life on perishable things, perishable pursuits. But we must have God as the solid foundation for our life. If everything is taken away from us, then when all is said and done, we have God in the end, who is all we really need to find fulfillment, satisfaction, and contentment in our life. You know, wisdom does not guarantee fulfillment, does not guarantee eternal life. It is not about what you know, but it is about who you know. You know, this morning I want each and every one of us to think, are we living our life according to human wisdom? Or are we living our life according to God's wisdom? The way to evaluate that is to see what it is we're chasing after. If we're chasing after what the world offers, then we're following worldly wisdom. If we're chasing after what God offers, then we're living according to God's wisdom. You know, maybe today you are a professed Christian and maybe someone excited about God. Well, my challenge to you is to share about God with a friend, with a classmate, with a co-worker, to share about what you know about God, because it's important for us to make Him known. Maybe this morning you're here and you feel, you know, there's something that's missing. My challenge is to you to think about what is your starting point. That our starting point needs to be God. And I want to challenge you, if you're visiting with us, if you have questions about the meaning of life, questions about God, I want to encourage you to study the Bible this week with someone and see what does it mean to have God as our starting point. And I do believe when God is our starting point, that He will lead us, He'll direct us to find fulfillment, contentment, and true meaning in our life. The Bible is a reliable source, more reliable than any self-help book, more reliable than human wisdom. And I do believe when we go to God, we go to the Scriptures, and we search through the Scriptures, God will do amazing things in our life, and God will fill our lives with incredible things. And man, I really trust that you've had an enjoyable worship here this morning. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Amen.